Hello, I'm Con.
And I'm Stav.
And we're Eddie Naki. You're listening to
Radio Karam.
Welcome to the Strong Single and Human podcast, a real look at single parenting, how to navigate the ups and downs of life with kids on your own while keeping sane. We cover all manner of subjects from domestic violence, dealing with childhood trauma, through to fussy eaters and how to help your kids become resilient. I'm your host, Claire Martin. Welcome. This week's guest, Rachel Birch, is a lawyer turned transformational coach and stand-up comedian. As host of the chart-topping podcast, Love Before 100, Rachel chronicles her journey to find love while making her way down a dating scavenger hunt bucket list. Wow, that's a journey and a half. Rachel hopes to help others feel less lonely while dating by taking her audience along on her hilarious and cringy quest to find love. As a homebody in her 40s, who's never actually dated before, Rachel makes the list to force herself out of the house and out of her comfort zone. She soon finds herself in a world of ghosting, catfishing, and love bombing. Sound familiar, anyone? Described by listeners as relatable, raw, hilarious, and binge-worthy, Love Before 100 appeals to singles and married women and men alike. Rachel lives with her two boys in Orange County, where she enjoys long walks on the beach and short commutes. She's obsessed with personal growth, all things woo, and healthy living. Rachel's on a quest not only to find love, but to expand upon a lesser known form of personal development, transformation through entertainment. Life transformation in the most pleasurable way possible, through laughter. Part reality show, part rom-com, part TED Talk. Make Love Before 100 your new guilt-free guilty pleasure. This is the Strong, Single and Human podcast. Hi, Rachel Birch. Welcome. Welcome. And thanks for joining this podcast.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to delve into the subject we're going to talk about. But first of all, right, let's just talk. Tell us a little bit about you. I've given some introduction in the introduction, if you get what I mean. Yes. But tell us a little bit about you and how you got to where you are here now.
Sure. So, I was an attorney for 10 years. That I always wanted to be an attorney growing up, and became an attorney, practiced for 10 years. And then for a variety of reasons, ended up leaving the law and started a life and business coaching business, which I did up until recently for about 8 years. And I didn't even realize I was kind of transitioning out of it. It was me just kind of shutting down my energy, availability to clients and not promoting or taking anybody on. And then I had this podcast, a previous iteration, and it was called The Transformation Maven, and it was all transformation things. And then I went to relaunch that as The Rachel Birch Show. And, I manifested this amazing producer. Actually, he was the former producer on the TV show, The Bachelor Australia.
Wow.
And yeah. So finding him, I said, you know, I'm going to relaunch my show and I'm going to call it Rachel Birch. He's like, no, you're not. Nobody knows who you are. You're not calling it The Rachel Birch Show. And I was like,
at least he's honest.
True. Yeah. I was like, true.
Aussie honesty coming through there.
I loved him. I thought he was great. It was funny because it's kind of a like manifesting story, but I had a previous producer and I was trying to bring her back. And so I was researching what the going rate was. And when I went on to Upwork.com, the third person that caught my eye was this man, because he lives in my city here in California, wow. but he was Australian, and I have a big love for Australia and all things Australian. So I thought, well, I should probably check this guy out. And then didn't even see that he was a producer on all these reality shows until we connected. And I just thought, okay, this is the universe dropping this man into my life. So we really collaborated. And I said, you know, I'm going to do a couple episodes about dating, but I have all these ideas. And I said, basically, here are all the ideas, help me distill it. And together we came up with this concept for the new podcast that I have. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I got to hear from.
Yeah. And the new podcast, if we describe it, is If Sex and the City and Jackass Had a Baby.
Yes, that's how I describe it.
I know, which is awesome.
Thank you.
So, okay. So, are you looking for love right now? Is that where we're at with everything? Sorry, we should, let's take a step back, right? We should explain a bit about the podcast.
Okay.
And what the actual podcast covers, right? Because I think it's great. It's just awesome. But like, let's cover off what your podcast actually covers off. So this is Love Before 100.
Yes. Love Before 100.
So
it is I call it part rom-com, part reality show, part TED Talk, because it kind of marries. I've been performing stand-up comedy for about 10 years. And so it has a comedic element to it. It has a very large personal development element to it, which kind of covers my love of teaching and personal development. You know, I've spent probably more money than I spent on my law school degree on personal development education. And so I really look at the podcast as a form of teaching and a way to give back, while kind of through an entertainment structure. And so the premise of the podcast is that I have this bucket list of things that I'm going to do and check off on the journey to finding love, to manifesting love. And so the 100 part comes in because it's a play on the number. It's the list has points. So it's before I get to 100 points or before I get to 100 years, since I'm 47. So, you know, I'm close. I'm getting closer to 100 every day.
You are every day, but you don't look 47, and you've got a long way to go to get to 100.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I have to ask this, right? Are you, and I know I said this before, but are you looking for love right now, or have you found it? Have you found this?
I have not found love. It's the word. It's funny because in the spiritual community, if I'm looking for love, I'm not going to find it, right? And so I have that's the thing. I've been having discussions with people because I'm creating season 3 right now, and I'm kind of creating what it's going to look like. But because it tracks my actual life, you know, I can't pre-write the whole thing. But I can set intentions from like a manifesting standpoint of like what will come in, right? Good stories and good people and things like that. And what do I want to learn through the process? And so I was recently talking to someone, and I said to her, you can't be open to love and not want it. You would be closed and not want it. But to be open, truly open to bringing someone in, there is this desire to find love, you know?
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Although I would say, like, my friends coerced me onto a dating app, which was like the worst thought in my head ever possible, right? I would not want to go on a dating app, thank you very much, ever. And my mates were like, come on, you've been on your own for 5 years. You need to get out there. You need to go on a dating app. So I was like, I don't want to do this. But I suppose in going on there, I was putting out to the world, well, I'm actually sort of ready. So bring it on. Yes.
Absolutely. So,
wow.
It's only a gesture. And I've been on and off apps. I've met some great people. I haven't found my partner on there, but I've had some great experiences. I've learned so many things. I created so much content I wouldn't, I, you know, half the episodes wouldn't be there if I didn't have men that I met.
Could we publish these episodes though? That would be the thing. Without getting defamation laws and stuff like that involved. So, okay. So how did you like make a list of what you wanted to find? How did you sort of go, right, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm ready to date. I'm out there. And then how did you start? Did you go, this is what I don't want, this is what I do want?
No, it wasn't that kind of list, actually. I know a lot of people talk about making those kinds of lists, like I want smart and funny and whatever, all that kind of stuff. I've done those before. That's not what this is about. This is about, so if you listen to the podcast, and I tell people, if they're going to listen chronologically. Start with episode one and go through chronologically. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, you won't get the journey, which is a lot of the personal development stuff. So this whole podcast came out of it's hard to use even the term relationship because things are so weird. But I think, I mean, even you and I have a relationship, right? We have like podcast. So it was a relationship that I had with a man that I met on a plane. We had a 3 month conversation. He lived in a different state than me. Basically we had two like overnight dates, travel dates, and the time on the plane. So when I started dating him, which was about a year and 3 months ago or whatever it was, seeing him, talking to him, I realized, ooh, I have anxious attachment style. If I don't hear from him, if he says that if it doesn't, I get very anxious. This is over. Does this mean it's over? What's happening? All that kind of stuff. So I created a list because I knew we weren't exclusively dating. You know, there's a couple ways to date. You can either immediately jump in right away. I've had men, you know, after a first date say like, I want to be exclusive. And I say, I don't know you. I'll go on a second date with you, but I don't know you. And then there's some, you know, a lot of people date a lot of people until they find one that they kind of want to settle on and become exclusive with. And so I knew that that was what this man was essentially doing. And so I was just kind of new to dating after, I mean, I'd been divorced quite a while, but kind of like you, I had like a bit of a break. So to quell my anxiety, I came up with a list of men that I would want to go on dates with before I found my like person. So it was like an Irishman, an Australian, a fireman, a lawyer, a police officer, like a B-list celebrity, you know, a Southern gentleman.
Oh my God.
List of all these men that I would want to go on a date with. So that's how it started. It was kind of like, let's make a game out of this to take the anxiety away from focusing on this one man
Okay. So I get you. So because of that anxiety that was there, you went, right, let's just make this a game. Let's take the stress out of it.
Take the stress out of dating, basically.
Like the thought that came in my head there was like, I was like, oh my God, how are you going to meet all these people in these specific, like, specific roles, careers or whatever. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you made your list of men.
Yes,
I mean, just blows my mind. I can't think of anything worse than making a list of all the different men I want to date, right? That would be a nightmare.
And that's how it started. The list has gone through many iterations. You know, like it's gone from the type of man that I'd want to date, or like, you know, just those categories of men, which was just, again, to try to quell my anxiety because I was very anxious. And then when it really became the podcast, I started going, okay, what if I haven't done this one yet, but this was like the first, what if I went to a firehouse and I just like went in, because there's a firehouse right by my house.
So firehouse is like a fire station, where we have firemen and like big engines and all of those things.
Fire trucks.
Sorry, I'm just conjuring this image up in my little head. Anyway, what about if you went to a firehouse?
There's a Starbucks right in the same center. What if I went in and said, look, I'm doing this thing. I need to take a single fireman out for coffee.
God, you've got balls.
Well, I haven't done that one yet, but that was because fireman was on my list. But I've now gone out with, I think, three firemen. So I could just cross that one off the list.
Cross them off. And obviously not your dream man.
Not my dream man.
Cross them off. Well, not yet. There may be a fireman out there that is. Maybe an Australian fireman that
could
is.
Could be.
Ticking two boxes there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So do you have a date range? A date range, an age range? Do you go, I'm not dating? Or do you just go, well, if he's a fireman, happy days, tick. He might be 24, but that's all good.
I play with age ranges. I've tried.
I love your work. It's great. Like, I wouldn't, but like, that's okay. We're all different.
Yeah.
Wow. I've got mates who do play with ages.
I don't like too much older.
Oh my God.
I think like 51 or 52 is like the max. I've been out with a bunch of 44-year-olds, so that's only a couple years younger. But lately I've been meeting a lot of like 37-year-olds, and I feel like, I don't know that I'd want that to be my person, but like you can go out on a date with one, or you can, have a conversation.
Nothing's
going
to say you could go out with a 24-year-old.
I've had a couple conversations with 27-year-olds that have reached out just when I was on a dating app, never met up with them. I just thought, let me have a conversation.
No judgment here. It's okay. It's good. It's okay.
Yeah. It was interesting, but not for me.
I've been out with men who are 10 years younger than me, 12 years younger than me. Not really my scene, I have to say.
I think it depends on there could be kind of like an outlier, extra mature
maybe
one, but I haven't run across that yet.
No, I haven't either.
And I'm not looking for that. I'm not. I feel last night. So one of the aspects that I talk about on my show is that I live in Newport Beach, which is Real Housewives of Orange County, the original one was born here, right? So it's very hard to date here because it's very superficial. There's a lot of the women are looking for money and the men are looking for youth and boobs and all this kind of stuff, right? Can I say boobs on your show?
You can. Yeah, you can. We and Jeff all the time on this show, so it's fine.
So last night I went out and I saw a man in his 30s.
Right.
And I was like, okay, maybe I would chat with him. Then I noticed he was wearing a wedding ring. So obviously I'm not interested in that. That's not on the list.
What?
But when I left, we went to dinner. I came back because my friend was staying at the hotel and he was at the hotel bar. He was chatting with this like 85-year-old woman. And I was like, well, how sweet. That's really nice of him to be talking with this woman. Well, when he left, he reached over and like made out with her. And I was traumatized. And then he left and she was so happy. And then they brought her wheelchair and like wheeled her, out. Yeah. And I was like,
did she hand over any money?
No.
Like, is he a gigolo?
Like, what just happened there? So then I started thinking, I can't fall in love with a 20-year-old because we could actually get married. And then that could be, I would be 80 and they would be 50. That would still be better than what I saw last night. But still, there's a lot of aspects of that happen. And so I talk about that in the podcast too, because it's comical, like trying to find love. And this is actually how I would describe it. I live in like Peter Pan Island where nobody wants to grow up, but I'm looking for a grown up. And like around every corner, it's just another kid. It's just another kid. Sometimes they dress like a grown up, but it's always just a young kid dressed up as an adult. So
sounds to me like, Rachel, you need to come to Australia, okay?
Yeah.
Because that we have a lot of kids here as well, I have to say. But, there are some full-on crazy-ass men here. So, you just got to move over. Come over. You do comedy. Come over for the Melbourne comedy festival, right? Come over. You can work in the evenings and then work in the daytime with like your podcast and your stories. It would be great.
I had looked at that one year. Maybe I will.
Do it.
That would be fun.
Do it. It's great. And look, it's not summer, okay, I have to say, because it happens like April time, which is sort of it's sort of going into our autumn, but like it means it's not baking hot, but it's not freezing cold either yet. So it's sort of a mishmash of both. And it's great. Okay. It's such a good atmosphere. And hey, and you get to come over and date an Australian, although it sounds okay. like you already have, but hey.
No. Well, oh yeah. I went on a date with an Australian, one date.
Wow. I'm going to have to ask this. How did you find that? Because obviously I've dated a lot of Australian men.
I liked it. It was great. Okay. Yeah, he was super nice. Very funny. I loved listening to the accent. He could have talked about anything and it would have been fine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, okay. So after, so this journey that you've been on, okay, I have to ask you, right? Do you think that you will find the man of your dreams? Because it sounds like it's just that roller coaster of dating. Yeah. But like, do you think there is, like, I'm not sure about this soulmate malarkey. I'm not sold on that because everyone goes, oh, everyone's got a soulmate and blah, blah, blah. And I go, yeah, and I don't think so. What about you?
I'm not sold on that either. Yeah. Honestly, there's many times where I feel like it's just not going to happen for me. I actually went through a stage where I just kind of mourned that it wasn't going to happen for me because, you know, I know so many people and I joke, like, I can't even get in a bad relationship. You know, like I have not had a relationship since, I mean, I got divorced 6 years ago and I haven't had a substantial relationship. And, obviously I looked at all the angles of why that might be. And, you know, for a while I kind of shut things down. I had put on a ton of weight just to like protect myself emotionally. And then I lost that weight. You know, I've been through a big journey, but you get to the point where, you know, I recently went out with somebody, a couple dates, and it didn't end well on his side. It didn't end well. And, but I got to look at myself and go, okay, wow, I'm growing through this like process, but even just losing someone that I wouldn't want to be with, it's like, you get this false start kind of thing where you feel like, oh, maybe this is going to go in a good direction. I've invested some time. But people do that with jobs. They do that with marriages. They do that with everything where we say, well, let me stick it out and see, you know, and it's just kind of like,
nah,
it's not working. You gotta,
if it's not, if it's not working, cut it loose and like, start again. See, I did a different journey to you. I was on my own for 5 years. I didn't date. I didn't want to date. I was over men. Didn't really care. Didn't want to deal with all of the childish behavior that, like, you've obviously sort of hinted at. And I was very happy with me, right? So I got on with my shit, basically. I painted. I meditated. I put on weight, got myself a paddleboard, you know, all of, and just concentrate 5 years of on my life, on my kid and me, and just getting sorted and surviving COVID, because I was in Melbourne, the most lockdown city in the world. So like we had to survive 2 years of like just being in our houses, which was great. So okay, what if people are listening to this podcast and are like, well, I think I'm ready, I want to get out there.
Yeah.
What's your advice to them? What should they do? Or do you have any advice? Right.
Well, I was actually recently interviewed by some like avid podcast, like fans of the podcast.
Yeah.
I was on the podcast to talk about the podcast. And they asked me the same thing. And I was like, I guess I would say, listen to my podcast from episode 1 to, you know, 22.
Yeah.
Straight through. So you can learn from my mistakes. It's like kind of like a cheat sheet for the first year of dating when you're ready to date. Like for me, the podcast is very much a coming of age story because I didn't date before I got married. I met my ex-husband when we were 21, like first day of law school. We dated in law school. We were together. We got married. Wow. And then I didn't really date, you know, after that. And so I really learned how to date you know, in my 40s for the first time. And so I chronicle it. A lot of people are like, wow, you're very vulnerable. I can't believe you shared that. You're so brave. But it's kind of like, well, this is how I get to help people. So very humbly, I would say, listen to my podcast. And the people that were interviewing me was like, we would agree that is really good advice. So that's why I was saying they kind of shared that. And then I would say, really focus on what you can learn from this process. Really look at it as a personal development journey. And if you're not into personal development, then I would say just go easy, you know, give yourself grace, patience, you know, Godspeed. It's like, it's definitely a roller coaster, like you said. And that was why I created the podcast, was I wanted people to know. My mission was, I want them to know they're not alone, because it can be, it doesn't have to be, but it can be very difficult and trying and lonely. And so I wanted to share that this is what it can look like, but you're not alone. Like, other people are going through it too. So, you know, stick with it. A lot of people have found what they're looking for and are very happy. So, you know, why couldn't it be you?
Yeah, no, exactly right. Exactly right. So, is there one thing that you wouldn't do again? Out of everything that you've done, is there one thing that you would not do again?
Well, it's funny because I have one episode and the show notes say that, you know, Meatloaf says, I would do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, that was speed dating for me. I did an online speed dating. I did online speed dating and it was awful. But for some reason, I signed up for an in-person speed dating in like 2 weeks. Probably
you got that in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I have that coming up in 2 weeks.
But I think in person would be a bit different from on this online stuff.
Oh, the online. I mean, the connections were cutting out. Like, it was so weird, but it was perfect for the podcast. It's a hilarious story of the men that I connected with. So it worked out for the show, but it's kind of like, what works out for the show doesn't work out for Rachel, and what works out for Rachel can work out for the show, but we haven't gotten there yet. But things that are good for the show, like, something will happen. And that's the other reason why I did it, was for accountability, because I created a win-win scenario. If I get my heart broken, I can share about it on the podcast, and, you know, and it can be a winning thing in that way. If the guy is totally weird, I can share about it on the podcast, you know, so it's created this scenario where, it just takes things down a notch from severity of like, oh, that was the love of my life and they're gone now, or I got rejected again, or ghosted, or catfished, or any of the things that have happened. It's just kind of like, well, I guess it's going to go on the podcast.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you, right? So ghosting, right? Now, ghosting is a big, massive thing, right? I know when I was on the dating app, I haven't ghosted anyone, and nobody ghosted me, which was really nice. I met really nice guys. And I also had a view that if I was going to meet anyone and pursue that if I was seeing other people, I would actually be straight with them and say, look, really great to meet you, but I've met somebody, thank you very much. I'm going to pursue that interest and go from there, right? And somebody did it back to me, which was fine. But like, ghosting, how do you deal with ghosting? I'm saying, have you been ghosted? But like,
oh yeah, many times. And
how do you deal with it?
Because it
can put you in. If you're ghosted, right, it just generates so many questions. Like, was it me? Did I do something wrong? And like, in this day and age with dating apps and stuff, let's face it, you're talking to half a dozen people all at the same time, right? And so it's a bit like, I'm trying to think. It's like going into a supermarket and going through the shelves, right? Or having a taste test, right? It's like, how do you deal with it?
Well, I deal with it now way better than in the beginning. And again, that's why it's kind of like, go on the journey with me, because I actually had an expert, like a spiritual expert, come on to talk about ghosting. And, you know, he was like, well, first of all, we call it ghosting. That's such a severe term. Like, why, you know, instead of being like, he ghosted me, just, I didn't hear from him again, you know, that has such a different energy. And so as somebody that, you know, I guess it also depends on where in the process you're ghosted. If it's, you know, down the line, then you would expect more of a communication. But if it's early on, And you know, have you reached out and they haven't replied? Like, I don't reach out to men usually, unless I have something like really important. It's not like, oh, I want to text him, but I'm not going to text him. But yeah. My position is if he wants to pursue me, if he's interested, then I'll hear from him.
Yeah.
And if I don't hear from him, it's not because he needs to be reminded that I'm around or that it's not that he doesn't know I'm interested. Like, I just, the type of man that I'm looking for, and again, this could be different for everybody, so it's not across the board, but the type of man that I'm looking for, so today I pulled this, I pull angel cards to kind of like,
oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And the card today that I pulled, I was like, I'm kind of getting discouraged. And I pulled the Knight of Roses, and it's this like handsome guy holding some roses. And I was like, okay. And wow. I read it and it said, this man knows what he wears his heart on his sleeve. He knows what he wants and he goes after it. And I was like, yes, exactly. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a man who knows what he wants. What he wants is me. And he goes after it. Not, yeah. I'm confused. There's all these other women in front of me and I have a work project and my son has soccer. There's always time to send a text and say, like, just checking in. Like, I had a guy text me the other day. He doesn't live in my states and he's a full-time dad to a single, like a daughter, but he was like, hey, happy Friday, like go crush it. And I knew that he was just saying to me, because I could read between the lines, I want to say hi, I'm going to work now. I can't have a whole text conversation all day long, but I want you to know that I'm thinking about you. And so I've kind of cultivated this, I don't need to talk to him all day long. No. I do want to know that he's thinking of me. Like it's kind of like I know it when I see it. And anything else, you could consider ghosting, but I just consider it opting themselves out of the process. Like, what I've done is here's how I handle it. I've flipped the script. So instead of them not choosing me by not texting me and ghosting me, I don't choose them because I'm not really liking their communication style. Yep. I don't really like how often they're thinking about me. I just go like, you're not the guy who knows I'm the one. And if you don't know that, then
exactly
you're not
right.
And that's
exactly right.
The power back for myself. So, but
I agree. And I think, and I learned it the other way by like just filling my life, right? Just getting on with my life, right? So my life is very full. And I sort of go, if somebody wants to fit into my life and share my life, that's great. Happy days, share my life, right? But I'm not going to change and amend my life to fit in with their life. That sounds really bad, but like, it's not like, you know, you fit together. And like, I have to agree with you, right? My view is, if you're part of the way through the relationship, right? And sort of like, maybe you've got exclusive or whatever, and then they ghost you. I go, wow, you dodged a bullet, right? Because if they're ghosting you and they haven't got the balls to actually turn around and say, look, hey, this is just isn't going anywhere and blah, 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 they're not the person for you because they just don't have the kahunas to actually man up and say, hey, or woman up and say, hey, sorry, this isn't working out, and be an adult about the whole thing. And they just ghosted you because it's too hard for them to actually deal with your emotions and their emotions. And that's not what you want. You don't want an emotionless person in your life. So, wow. Okay. So what's next for you then? What's coming up?
So that's something that I spend a lot of time, luckily, again, with the podcast, the way I've created it. So it's kind of a growth journey. Is I get to plan what's coming up for me. And I really see a lot more personal development in the sense of cultivating this more, I guess, independent, kind of stable, fulfilled version of myself. I'm so there, but even more so, how can I cultivate that? I'm spending a lot of time, you know, you live where people vacation, right? They come here, I know it's winter there, but it's summer here. And yeah, so
it's bloody cold here, but
yeah, I was in my bathing suit yesterday. I'm going to be in all this week. And so I've been going to, with girlfriends, different resorts, around here and working from there and just kind of, adding romance to my life without a romantic relationship. So, you know, going out to dinner, going to concerts, just filling up my life with all these pieces that I, you know, crave even more so than normal. They're normally in my life, but just like really being intentional because there's only 7 weeks before school gets back in session. And so, you know, what do we go to the beach? Like, what are the different things that we do? So there's a lot of that. Work-wise, you know, people keep asking me if there's going to be a book. I keep saying no, but I feel like the universe will let me know when it's time for a book. So that could be next. I mean, I'm pretty fulfilled in my life. Pretty satisfied. So I think just more.
Because my view is like you only get one life, right? It goes so quickly. Stop worrying about dating. And live your life like you, right? Like just treat dating as a game, right? Treat dating as a podcast. Treat dating as whatever you want, right? But it's one element of your life, right? And there's so much more. And with friends and all of those sort of things, just focus on living life and shit will happen, hopefully.
Well, and I will say, in case you have, you know, people that are listening that are kind of similar situated to when I started, I hated when people told me that. Like people said, you know, like, oh, just try to find love within yourself. And, you know, and I was like, I love myself. I spend so much time by myself. I enjoy my company. I'm looking for a companionship. And I, you know, I have all these things that I want to do. And most of my friends were married and I hated having to ask them to leave their families and their kids, whatever. So recently I've manifested a lot of more single friends, which helps a lot with that to get them to do things. And I do have my married friends that want to do, you know, one married friend will do one thing with me and then a different friend will do something different with me. But there was I just want this and there's nothing wrong with wanting it. Like, and I really like, that's a big piece that I would want to say is there is nothing wrong with wanting it. There's nothing wrong with yearning for it. There's different ways to go about it, but any information that you take in, especially if you're on Instagram, there's so many people that want to tell you that you're doing it wrong. There's so many people that want to tell you you're communicating wrong. You're thinking about it wrong. You're wanting it wrong. And I just want to say you're not, you know, like, I just want to say, give yourself grace, let yourself long for it, you know, put yourself in the space of desiring it. And you know, if you're into growth, there's an opportunity there. And if you're not, that's fine too. But I really, really hated, getting on Instagram and having the dating coaches telling me that like, I'm a schmuck because I, you know, did it this way or that way, or, you know, anxious attachment, like it's a real thing, but, you know, it comes from somewhere. So let me work on it and heal it and love on it instead of shaming it for making me feel crazy, you know?
Yeah. And that was what I was going to ask you, right? Because you obviously, and on this journey, as you've said, have done a lot of personal development, but what did you do to develop yourself personally then? Because like, was it reading books? Was it going on YouTube? How did you recognize it? Therapy? I don't know.
Well, one of my core values is growth. So
me too. When you're 85 and you're snogging some guy in a hotel bar, right? You're growing, right? You are definitely growing, darling. But it's just like maybe at 85, I'm not sure I'd want to be doing that at 85. But anyway.
Yeah.
Each of us have fun, right? She's having fun. Exactly. She loved it.
Exactly.
They brought her a wheelchair and off she went. But like, I agree with you, right? Growing, we grow all the way through our lives, right? So,
Never. Yeah. And I've been in courses constantly and books and everything. So I would say like a lifetime of all that experience, you know, served me. And then I had to look at things differently with working with a coach again. And I've been to therapy. I'm a fan of therapy. I recommend therapy. It wasn't a big component in, you know, the last 5 years for me, but every once in a while I'll go back and kind of do a check-in. And the personal development though, the like coaching, the reading books, like all that, really that work for me was the biggest piece. And then having self-awareness to look at each experience, you know, and really see what I could learn from it was just, you know, a lot of times they'll say like such and such is the best personal development seminar on the planet. And I think for me, dating really was, because it shined a light on like, what this guy just treated me really badly. Like, why am I still excited about him? Like, why am I not immediately disgusted with this man for ghosting me? Or why am I even sad about it? And so, I would look at that, like, what am I missing? What do I need to learn from this? So just, the adventure of life, I guess, is the biggest teacher for me right now.
And
having that self-awareness to spend time looking at what I want to change.
And it is about taking a breath and sitting in where you're at and asking those questions. I completely agree with you. It's like going, well, why am I starting to get panicky about stuff? Why am I starting to feel like I need to run? Why am I? And it's all about the why. What makes me do X? What makes me sit? And I drive people insane because I go, right, I just need to take a step back and I'm going to sit in where I'm at. Because I need to understand so I can do, right? So I can take action and make sure that I'm not going to travel down a path that I have traveled down so many times. And I also sit and go, but it might drive people crazy. Because I just say, I'm just sitting in now, right? I'm not looking to the future. I'm looking at what happened behind me. I'm sitting and dealing with what is happening with me now. So how am I feeling now, right? Can't judge people on past experiences and past relationships and stuff. And I don't really want to look to the future because I could be dead tomorrow, right? So at the end of the day, let's just sit and what is happening at the moment, deal with this shit, and then, you know, figure out what the hell I'm doing. Because I don't think anyone really knows what they're doing. So, okay. So like, well, wow. I mean, yeah, people listen to this podcast. It is amazing. You will learn a lot. How do people get in contact with you, Rachel? How do they get in contact with you? Do you have a website or is it just via the podcast?
I do, but it's for my coaching business. Usually Instagram is the best way. I have people message me all the time. They listen to the podcast and they send their thoughts to me. And I always respond back. I like, you know, if someone's going to take time to listen and then message, then.
So is your Instagram Rachel Birch or is it Love Before 100?
So I have a Love Before 100 Instagram, and then I have the Rachel Birch as my personal one, and either one.
Okay. And look, so thanks for coming on here today. It's great talking to you. It's brilliant. It's been interesting, and your podcast is interesting as well. So it's just like people out there dating in the dating world, listen to Rachel's podcast. It is really interesting and funny as well. Final question for you is, what piece of advice have you been given that you still use today going forward?
I think the having the mindset of things are happening for me, not to me, has been the biggest one. And I apply that constantly in dating and every area of my life. You know, things are always working out for me. This is happening for a reason.
Yeah.
Figuring it out, getting out of the victim consciousness and really into, you know, growth mindset. That is something I probably use on a daily basis and highly recommend to anybody that's alive.
Defo. Well, I can't wait to hear season 3. This should be great. It should be awesome. Yeah. And look, thank you for coming on board today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope to see you back here again soon. Be kind to yourself, and remember, no one is perfect. We're all just putting one foot in front of the other and doing our best. I'm Claire Martin, and you've been listening to the Strong, Single, and Human podcast.
Hey, I'm Jane Oakley, a Matilda alumni footballer, number 36, and you're listening to Radio Karen. Stay tuned.
Oi, 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 oi.
IGA, oi. It's shopping night. Oi. IGA, oi. Where the price oi. Is right. Oi. Seaford North, oi. IGA, oi. For your groceries oi. And liquor. Oi. IGA oi. Express, oi. There's nothing oi. Quicker.